Building Commission's concurrent meetings of the accessibility tack, special occupancy tack, and structural tack. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open each one alphabetically, starting with accessibility, get the agenda and the minutes approved, then go to special occ, do the same, and then go to the structural and do the same, and then we'll have opened all three groups, and then we will go through and hear start with the report, and then we'll get an update on the process for reviewing the ICO changes. So first is accessibility tack. I'm going to do a roll call. Commissioner Gross, Jeff, are you on?
I'm here, Jeff.
Good. Jack Humberg, Jack, are you on? All right. Laurel Martin, are you on? So I do want to remind folks of one thing, is that since there's going to be a lot of people, please mute your phones. You need to mute your phone. If you're taking sidebar conversations, please make sure your phone and computer are muted, but not put on hold, because it brings in a lot of background noise. Say your name each time you speak. And then when TAC members are making motions and seconds, of course, say your name as well. Please wait till you're called upon to speak. Everybody have an opportunity. So we'll go through that way and make sure that we have an orderly meeting. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the roll call. Did I hear Laurel Martin respond? No, okay. Sharon McNarty? All right, Barbara Page.
Hey, I'm here.
Very good. And Brad, Commissioner Schiffer, you're there.
I'm on.
Larry Schneider, Larry. All right. Diana Weil, you're on, right? Yep, I see you anyway, so I'm going to mark you here. Jim Woolihand, are you on, Jim? Okay, well, we're at this point lacking one member for a quorum of the accessibility TAC. Let me check back again. Jack Humberg, Laurel Martin, Sharon McNarty, Larry Schneider, or Jim Woolihand. So we have 4 of 9, we're lacking a quorum there. So I'm going to go on to the next TAC, which is our special occupancy TAC. Dan Whitehead, Dan, are you there?
Don Whitehead's here.
Oh, sorry, Don, I apologize, geez.
It's okay.
Doug Ahrens?
I'm here.
Commissioner Batts, Jim? All right, I saw that Con Cole would not be here. Elijah Flowers?
Here.
Michelle Haynes?
Here.
Very good. Richard Hilburn?
Alyssa Lotain is sitting in for Rick Hilburn for the Department of State.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Alyssa Lotain. Very good. Thank you. Crystal Myers?
Here.
Very good. Bob Vincent? Bob retired. Scott Waltz? All right, we have 6 of 10, so we just have our quorum. Let me check one more time. Commissioner Batts, Bob Vincent, Scott Waltz. Okay, so we're open with this group. Okay, so with special occupancy TAC, what I like to do is today's agenda is to approve the minutes from the March 30th meeting, to review and accept the final report for research projects, evaluation of cost impact of 2020 ICO changes, and then go over the process for the TAC's review of the 2021 ICO changes. unless there's any questions, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Don Whitehead.
Looking for a second.
Second,
Shelby. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, the minutes for the March 30th, 2020 meeting were posted and appended to the agenda. Does anybody have any revisions or corrections? If not, is there a motion to accept the March 30th, 2021 minutes?
So moved, Don Whitehead.
Second it, Michelle Haynes.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, so our special occupancy tack is opened. Now let's go to our structural tack. Commissioner Compton, Dave?
Here.
Very good. Commissioner Boré, are you there? No? Okay, Cypher Barton?
This is Milad Shabani. I'm his alternate.
Okay, thank you, Milad. Jamie Gascon?
Here.
Very good. Michael Garacio?
Here.
Doe Kim?
I'm here.
Very good. Dan Laverich? I see you, but I know you're here, so your audio wasn't coming in.
How about now? How about now, Jeff?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
C.W. Macumber.
Here.
Stephen Orlowski.
Here.
Craig Perino.
Here.
And I received a note that Gordon Thomas would not be here, but I'll just check. All right, we have 9 of 11. We have a quorum. Just checking one more time. Is Commissioner Boreon? All right, so we are open with this meeting. So the agenda is to approve the same agenda that I just reviewed with the accessibility TAC. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I would move to approve as posted.
All right. Is there a second?
Second by Roloski.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. You received your May 26, 2021 meeting minutes. They were posted and appended to the agenda electronically. Is there a motion to any revisions? If not, is there a motion to accept the May 26 minutes?
Laverich moved to approve as posted.
Gaskin second.
Motion to second from Laverich and Gaskin respectively. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Let me go back then. So we've opened the special OC in the building structural TAC. We didn't quite have a quorum on our accessibility. I'm going to go and see if anybody's joined the call since or if any alternates are here, identify yourself. Jack Humberg? Laurel Martin? Sharon McNardy?
I'm here.
All right, good. Larry Schneider?
We're here.
Good. And Jim Woollyhand? All right, well, we now have six members constituting a quorum, so we can conduct business with all three of our TACs. So the first order of business is for the accessibility TACs to approve the agenda, which again is to accept the evaluation of cost impact on prescriptive code changes report, and then to receive and go over the process for 2021 I-code review by the tax. So a motion to approve the agenda, please.
Schiffer and Schneider, so moved.
Schiffer and Schneider. Any discussion?
Careful how you say that.
I know. I made it through, though. it was a close call, I will admit. All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. It's unanimous. You have your January 31st, 2020 minutes that you received or that were appended electronically. Is there a motion, any revisions? If not, is there a motion to accept the January 31st, 2020 meeting minutes?
Schneider, so moved.
Schiffer, second.
Motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, so we have all three of our TACs with quorums have approved the agenda minutes, and we're ready to go and accept the report. What we'll do is we'll hear the report, get a summary of the report that you've had a chance, I hope, to review, and then I'll go to each TAC with a motion to accept the report. So we're going to start with that, which is, I think Dr. Iser from University of Florida. Mo, do you want to introduce this?
Yeah. Good morning. This is Mo Medani. As you recall, last March, March 30 and March 31st, you have mainly heard from Dr. Iser an update or the interim report, and you at that time the interim report was accepted. Today, really, Dr. Iser will go over the final report. The project, or the objective of the project mainly is to assess the cost impact and qualitative benefits of the changes to the 2021 International Building Code that are prescriptive in nature and have the potential of adding costs to construction. So, Dr. Iser, are you on the line? If you are, go ahead.
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
Just a second here. I'm trying to... Good morning, everybody. I'm trying to get this... my screen... Here we go.
There we go. That's good.
Okay. So I'm presenting an evaluation of the cost, impact, and benefit of the 21 I codes and 2020 NEC prescriptive code changes. Okay. The research team consists of myself, Russell Walters, John Chiz, and Kristen Winger. This is the flow chart of the process we went through to review and analyze the I codes and the NEC, look at literature review, estimated cost impacts, and then use a set of residential baseline and commercial baselines to do a cost assessment. So the research goal was to assess the cost impact and qualitative benefits of 2021 I codes and 2020 NEC code changes that are prescriptive in nature and have the potential of adding cost to any construction activity. So the statement of work had five components to review and analyze the 2021 I codes and 2020 NEC changes, review available literature studies on estimated construction costs of those provisions that are not covered under a previous bullet, using good engineering judgment. I use a standard set of baseline residential and commercial buildings. And we did that. We had five commercial buildings, a small elementary school, retail space, small hotel, small office building, high-rise apartment, a mid-rise apartment building. And then we had a one-story and a two-story house that we looked at. And then we developed the material quantities and the models and all that, and we used that information to come up with the cost. I will follow it with examples, and the deliverables were the interim report that we did in March and the final report that we submitted in June, the impact, the mechanical, and... Okay, this is my word. So the impact, the mechanical and plumbing code changes, cost impact, there was a lot of changes involve clarity and consistency through revision of the language. The International Mechanical Code features several code changes whereby product standard tables have been updated to reflect those most current. The overall trends in the commercial sector points towards the specification of mechanical equipment, more superior efficiency ratings, the addition of control points and or revision of sequences, and the further clarification of existing code language. The supporting appendices of our work is in appendix tables 1 to 7 and appendix A and G of the full report. The industry changes cost impact. Many of the changes in the code were due to editorial changes, again, for clarification, style, and consistency. The industry now covers the export of power from electrical vehicles to premises wiring to permit bidirectional power flow between electrical vehicles and premise wiring. Exterior emergency disconnects to improve safety for one and two family dwellings. Updated load calculation methods to reflect changes in energy efficiency. They require surge protective devices for all dwellings and expand the uses of the GFCIs, and that's found in Table 8, Appendix H. The IBC, FPC changes, the life safety changes, all of the code requirements that have been added associated with heavy timber requirements are noted and has no cost impact because we didn't have anything to compare against. For the IBC changes, the reference other ICC codes are NFPA 170 or 101. A review of the respective codes for the NFPA code or standard section is shown in Table 9 in Appendix I. The structural code changes, there were very few prescriptive cost impact changes, and many of these were related to seismic requirements, and that's in the tables 10 through 11. And now we get to the comparison of the different buildings in the, so this is a small office building. We have a comparison with the 2017 FBC cost, the 2018 ICOS cost, and the 2021 ICOS cost. And you can see that the changes were between 2017 FBC and 2018, we had 9.76%. Between 2018 ICODE and 2021 ICODE, we had 1.32%. The overall difference in cost between 2017 FBC and 2021 ICODE was 11.21%. Similarly, the retail spaces estimates cost summary, we looked at all three situations, and here the cost differential between 2017 FPC and the 2021 ICO changes was 7.78%. For the elementary school, it was 12.59%. For the small hotel, it was 14.83%. For the mid-rise apartment, it was 31.28%. For the one-story residence, the increase in cost from 2018 to 2021 was 2.08%, with the difference in cost between 2017 FBC and 2021 ICOs being 40.76%. The difference in cost for the this is the two-story residence cost summary. The difference in cost was 2.66%, and overall difference between 2017 and 2021 was 44.47%. And this is a summary of all the findings for 2021, the difference between 2021 and 2018 ICODES. And the average overall, seven buildings was 1.56%. If you look just at the commercial buildings, they range from 0.02% for the small hotel to approximately 1.32% for the small office building. And from the residential, it ranged from 2.08% for the one-story building house to 2.66% for the two-story house. The average changes in costs were 0.47% for the commercial institutional buildings and 2.37% for the residences. So that's my presentation.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll take questions. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask regarding the report, any of our TAC members?
Jeff, I have a question. Schiffer?
Sure, Brad. Go ahead.
Are any of the costs of changes in the fire code incorporated in this study?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So you put in all the grab bars that are now required?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Other questions from our TAC members? All right. Is there any public comment?
Belcher?
Joe, go ahead.
I have a question, Ray, Dr. Issa. I'm trying to understand the numbers on the tables, G1, I think it's supposed to be F1 and G1, one-story and the two-story residence. It's supposed to be G and F, but one table seems to be mislabeled.
This is two-story right here.
Yeah. They both say one-story. So anyway,
yeah.
I'm trying to understand the 44.7% versus the 2.66%.
Okay.
What those changes actually, yeah.
Okay. So what we're looking at here, the 2.6, the difference between the 2018 I-codes costs and the 2021 I-codes costs with respect to the 2017 FPC costs. So the change in costs, if you look at $456,000 and $468,000, that's 2.66%.
So that's the actual change from the...
That's the difference between 2018 I-codes and 2021 I-codes.
Okay. So when I'm talking to FHBA members, am I going to tell them I got a 44.47% increase?
If you're comparing to the 2017 FPC...
Okay.
But if you can compare the difference between the 2020 FPC and the 2023 FPC, if you adopt all the 2021 I-codes, it's only 4.66%.
So in other words, the 40% has already been absorbed into the code. That's already in place. And so this is...
Yeah, that's already in place.
Right.
We're just using that as a reference.
So it's... To adopt the 2021 I-codes without any modification, just straight 2021 I-codes, we're talking about a 2.66% increase over the seventh edition, the 2020 code.
Yes. Right.
Okay. I thought that was the case, but I wanted to make sure I understood it correctly.
Right.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
All right.
Now, this is Larry Schneider. Is there any calculations or figuring for inflation over the time?
No, we're basing our costs on 2017 costs.
Okay, thank you.
And that's so
nothing,
also...
Nothing taking into account what's happened with lumber?
No.
Okay, thank you.
And there is an explanation.
With the price of lumber today, we're nothing going to get built.
Right.
Exactly.
But the report does... clarify that, you know, that those factors weren't considered in it, so they are in the report, so it's pretty obvious. It's clear if you read it that those are not factored in.
All right.
Other questions? Anybody from the public? All right, let's go back to our tax. Since you didn't have any initial discussion, I'm going to go to the accessibility tax first. Is there a motion to accept the 2021 I-code change comparison?
Schiffer will move it.
Second by Schneider.
We have a motion and a second by Schiffer and Schneider, respectively. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimously accepted. Let's go to the special occupancy tax. Is there a motion to approve the report?
So moved, Don Whitehead.
Looking for a second.
Second, Michelle.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Also unanimously approved. And finally, to our structural tack, is there a motion to approve the report?
Still moved, Orlowski.
Second, CW.
I'll still second.
All right, we have a motion and a second from Orlowski and CW. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All three TACs have unanimously approved this report. Thank you, Dr. Issa. And we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is to go over the process for reviewing the 2020 I-code changes. Mo's going to go through the various resource documents, and then at the end of that, I will review the TAC review process and the commission's review process for this phase, the I-code review phase. Mo, go ahead.
All right. Good morning. This is Mo Mandani. Jim, can you have me share the screen so I can do my presentation? All right. Thank you, Jim. As you see, what I'm going to do is go over what we have on our website as resources, and then I will go over the code change module that we put together for reviewing the ICC code changes, and I'll go over how to submit a comment and where we are and all that. So I'm gonna, at this point, I'm gonna click on I'm on our website, so if you want to follow me with that, you know, you can go into our website and click on proposed code modification. All right. Well, that's not good. All right. Let's see. All right. Let's see why it's. Okay, let's see, close it.
Mine is working, Mo. This is Compton.
Yeah, it's working for me. I think it's the issue is that I'm having it open somewhere else. So I'm hoping that this is it. See, let's see. Let's see if this is going to work. Oh, no, it's blocking me for... Because there's another, let's see.
You have multiple tabs open, Mo.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to close those tabs. Let's see. This one here. Let's see if I can use this one. No. Let's see. All right, it's not allowing me to go through multiple tabs. Let's see. Let's see if. Let me try this one here. No, I'm gonna, let me go through another browser. Hold a second. All right. All right, let's see if this is going to work. So I'm, okay, so it's going to work. So I went through another browser. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on, in the, as you see, the proposed code modification menu, I'm going to click on code development and hot topics. This is, you know, everything we do with the, for the building code in terms of updates, you will find it here. So As you see, the work we did with the prior codes, you can go into it and find the information. So we're going to go to the 8th edition, the 2023 FPC code development. Here's the page that where, you know, we have everything that we have done so far with regard to the 8th edition 2023 FPC code development. One thing we did, first of all, we got together with ICC and it's asking me for a password. Anyway, you should be able to do it. We got together with ICC, and that the username you want to use, they're giving you this Florida Spring 2021 review. So,
I'm having trouble getting it.
Well, let's try it again.
Worked for me.
Gonna work for me. No, it's not allowing for some reason. But anyway, in there you will find the iCode for the 2020, and you will find also the monographs or the resource documents, which has all the iCode changes broken down by subcode. The other thing is that a link to the NFPA website, where if you want to review the NEC is available for review, and also the changes to the 2020 NEC. Those are available from the NFPA website. The one thing I want to go over today is the work plan for the putting together the 2020 E3 Florida Building Code. This is the work plan that we're working on. So as you see, there is in red, this is the major task, and then specifics underneath it. So what I'm going to do now is to go over only the step toward reviewing the iCode changes. So the first thing the commission did is the selection of the model codes. That was done February 9th. 2021. So at the February meeting, the commission selected the 2021 iCode, model code, and the 2020 NEC to mainly conduct the code review. To do that, also, there is the next task, which is the review of the model code changes. As I showed you, we get together with ICC, and they mainly posted on their website the 2021 iCode along with the monograph. And if you use that link, as Joe said, he did manage to go in, so it's there as a resource for you. The next thing after the review of the model code, as required by rule, his staff did analysis on the monographs or the iCode changes, 2021 iCodes, and uploaded those into the building code information system with specific analysis as mandated by rule, which we'll go over it. That task was completed May 17, 2021. And the staff analysis, mainly what we've done, we classified those code changes to note that which code change or ICO change overlap with the provision of the FPC, which well, I'll go over what the overlap means in a minute, and those provisions which correlate directly with the provision of the FPC, and those code changes that really provide for energy efficiency standards that's needed to be able to provide Florida, that the energy code, the Florida energy code meet or exceed the national standard, as required by DOE. And also, we also noted out those, flood requirements, which are required, that we adopt those to be consistent with the National Flood Insurance Program, which is FEMA, the program. And I'll show you that when we go to the database, the classification and all that. Then I think then June 29th, the Residential Construction Cost Impact Working Group is going to meet to mainly to review the International Residential Code changes and provide comments to these code changes, to the tax and to the commission with regard to which code changes are impactful. This is a group that's put together by the commission, code change process, and they mainly continue to do the same thing at this point, looking at those code changes and pointing out which has additional impact, and only limited to the International Residential Code. May 17, when we staff finished updating the system and the analysis, we did send a mass email saying, hey, you know, now everybody has a 45 days to review these ICO changes, staff analysis, and provide general comments. You cannot do an alternate language, just general comments. The 45 days started 5/17/2020 and will end July 1, 2021. So we don't have a lot of time left there for you to go in and comment. So if you have interest, please do so soon. So I'll give you a few days, to do that. As soon as the 45 days comment period is over, which is the July 1, 2021. Then we staff mainly make sure that all the information are verified. We do verify the comments to make sure that the comments are within the the rule allowances and all that. So after all the comment is verified and everything, then August 2nd we will put together what we call tracking charts and detail reports. Those are really similar to what we have done on prior code changes. You have a tracking chart to follow and for ease of taking notes and all that. And then you have the detail report, which has in it all the history, the information about the code change. You'll have the monograph of the 2021 I-codes and comments and the rationale and all that as really as was received from the ICC, which also I will show you shortly. So that's August 2nd. Then after August 2nd, then the tax will meet to review these ICO changes and provide recommendation to the commission. And we did put together a schedule for the tax meeting, and also I will go over it shortly. And also we did email it to all the tax members. The meetings is going to be, some of them will be in the last week of September, 22nd to the 30th, and then the remaining will be the first week of October. And the reason why that we did this is to really accommodate those people that they expressed concern that our, meetings for the tax overlap the I-code hearings, which is scheduled for September 21st and 28th. So we try to really avoid that and so on. So that's why that was the change, is the reason for the change for these dates. The tax, you know, is going to really review these ICO changes, and they're going to mainly take recommendation. So they could recommend to the commission that certain code changes be rejected. And those all the one that's rejected by the tax will be compiled as one group under consent to be taken by the commission under the consent agenda. We'll do them by tax and by subject matter. So that's really, so that's the first one. The other action, the tax can also recommend that certain code changes, ICO changes be approved. Again, we compile those under consent and for the commission to take them as a group. And also the TAC has options if they feel a code change is somewhat, you know, they're not sure, or maybe the normal discussion needs to be taken, be considered for it. The TAC could recommend that the commission reject or approve a certain model provision after considering them individually. So they feel like, you know, maybe they need to be taken individually by the commission and discussed further to allow for further comments. So that's really the three, you know, options with regard to the tax recommendation on these ICO changes. After the tax meets and everything, mainly the staff will update the code modification module and the system and the data to reflect the tax recommendation. And that will be done by October 15, 2021. After that, then we will allow individual or interest group, if they feel like they need to really pull any of the ICO changes, whether rejected, whether by the TAC, or whether recommended for approval by the TAC, to be pulled for individual consideration. We will, you know, we mainly give the enough time to for that from October 15 to 11/19. So we have a time frame there. You know, we would like to really get this really done up front before the commission meeting, so we can organize the code changes and compile them and make sure that they're presented to the commission in a more constructive manner. Then the commission, the plan is for the commission to take up the tax recommendation December, it will be 2 days, December 14 and 15, 2021. And this will be an on-site meeting. Then after the commission meeting, staff will update the system reflecting the commission action. And then after that, we're done with step one. Then we'll go to step two, which is really the, you know, the normal code change process, which anybody can propose code modification to the foundation code, meaning the 2020 for the building code, as well as those ICO changes that the commission either approved or rejected. So that's really the what they call step two. So it's really and, you know, and there'll be workshops and hearings, you know, similar to what we have done before. So this is the work plan. Any question about the work plan? All right. Well, I'm glad that you guys are doing good. So let me go out in here. I'm going to go now to, there is a document here. It's called 2021 ICC Comment Submit Quick Reference Guide. This is a guide that's really, after, you know, if you want to, after I finish my presentation, if you want to go through it, this, it tells you how to search for a modification. It tells you how to register, how to submit a comment, and so on. So I'm, you know, that's really a good resource for you if you feel that you need to really look at. The next thing that I want to go over is the 2021 iCode mod cross-reference. This is, we do this every code change process where we list or publish those changes that will be considered more than one tax. So these are really the ones that staff identified as those that will be taken by more than one tax. So just keep note of that. The other thing is we have here the 2021 I-code changes statistic and general information. This is just a compilation, a statistic that we did to look at what do we have with regard to 2021 I-code changes. First of all, you find out that there is a total give and take of 1,284 I-code changes. Based on the analysis the staff did, there is 815 that correlate directly, which is 60%, 64% of those correlate directly, and 453 overlap, about 35%, and 12 flood requirement, 4 non-applicable, they deal with codes that we don't adopt, like the green code, the swimming pool code, or the property maintenance code. Also, mainly gave you the number of code changes by subcode. So, like, the building has 486, which is makes sense, you know, it's the biggest code. Then you have residential 264, energy 267, etc. Then also, we looked at the tally of the code changes by tag. You know, see, accessibility 43, code admin 53, but the energy 263, fire 326, and so on, and structural 307. And so, and also we've broken down those that overlapping and those that correlate directly. For example, for fire, there is 234 of the 326 correlate directly and 92 overlap. Now, one thing about what is overlap or correlate directly, this is consistent with what we did with the I-code changes when we did the 2020 code. What we did in the, if you go back to the old chart, we did point out which I-code changes overlap. Overlap means original text of the 2021 I-code change is not consistent with that of the 2020 FDC. Correlate directly, original text of the 2021 I-code change is consistent with that of the 2020 FDC. An example of that, let's take a code change, FS-133-18. That's an I-code numbering. Florida, we also gave each code change a Florida-specific number, so you see that we have S9311, which is Florida number. This is a code change that really from the I-code, and when you look at it, you will see that within this code change text that in red, that is not consistent with what we have in the 2020 code. So this is called overlapping. When we say overlapping, meaning that, hey, guys, this is not ready for prime time to be recommended for approval because of the fact there is additional tax that somebody needs to look through and make determination and correlation and all that. So this is something, you know, somebody interested in, you know, in something like this, we feel that this overlapping code changes should be considered under step two, which is really under the next year process. And but really, if you look at the next code change, which is G122-18, which is S9434, this is correlated directly. And the reason for that, if you see that section 1206.1, they proposing code change to remove such as whole corridor and stairways or service area. And in the 2020 is the same language and all that. So that's a correlate directly. So if it's approved, it'll be, you know, staff, you know, will just follow the code change. you know, I think that the whole thing is that, you know, you want to make sure that you want to focus on those ICO changes that correlate directly, because those are, you know, if you're recommending for adoption and the commission really went along, it would be easy to incorporate them without any glitches or wordsmithing or reconstruction by staff. So this is one document available for you. The second thing that we have is, let's see. By the way, we did record the chat from the last meeting, so if you're interested in listening, it's available for you. This is for somebody who doesn't like to look at things in a let's see here. Mainly let's see slideshow. This is, has in it the two steps that I talked about in the work plan. Step is, or part one, the review of the model code. This is really kind of structured in a presentation, PowerPoint presentation format. It tells you the step, how many steps and all that. But then also part two, it tells you that the steps for part two, which is, just some, you know, schematic, you know, if you're interested in seeing something like this, available for you to use, and download. The other, these are, Jeff is going to go over these, shortly, the tech, review process and all that, so I'm going to leave it to Jeff. The other thing we have here is the tech schedule for the review in the ICO changes. This is the schedule. It's final. However, we're trying to find location for on-site meeting. As you see, the September 22nd and September 23rd and September, there'll be a conference call webinar. September 24th, special occupancy. It'll be also both. It'll be on-site and it will be a conference call webinar, and then you have the fire on the fire tax meetings on the September 29th, which will be on site. Energy, September 30 will be on site. Friday, October 1, it will be mechanical and code admin will be also on site. And then, the week of October, 3rd, you have Monday, or October 4th. We have Monday, October 4th, electrical, roofing, and plumbing will be on site. And structural also will be on site. And then the overflow, if they're assuming structural because they have so many code changes or fire did not finish or energy their work, we try to really make available a conference call for them to finish their work, which is, as you see, October 6th, a meeting for, if needed, conference call webinar for fire, and then a structural in the morning, October 7th, and then energy in the afternoon. We are looking for locations and hoping to have a location that, you know, central for everybody. So I know staff is working on that. So this is the meeting schedule. Any question about what I've done or went through so far?
Yeah, Mo, this is Steve Rolofsky. I do have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
If we can go back, if you can go back to the ICODES change statistics and general information, I really appreciated you going back over the overlap and the correlate directly. But I did want to ask a question about these overlap proposals that will be reviewed in phase two.
Yes, go ahead.
So in the example that you've given, for instance, you're using the section 1404. If there is a code change for the current ICC codes that's going to be making an alteration to that section, would phase two be the appropriate place to submit a public comment to try to correlate the eighth edition with what will be the 2023 ICODES?
Yes. I think the process under bar two is wide open. You know, there's no,
okay.
you, as long as the code change are submitted, correlate to the foundation code or the ICODE changes that approved, you can use language from that you're talking about the
2024.
Right. Yeah, code change. But yeah, I don't see any, you know, there's no restriction in this case.
Yeah, I was just thinking by then we will know how the online governmental voting goes on some of those code changes. So I wanted to make sure that that's the appropriate time to do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is.
Perfect. Thanks, Mo.
Joe Belcher.
Yeah, Joe.
Hey, Mo, I just, the overlap changes for part two or phase two, will that be an automatic going over, or will some action be required by interested parties or staff or anybody else? Will they automatically go into phase two or part two?
No, there's nothing automatic. Somebody has to really have ownership of these because they need some work. So somebody has to do it. No, it's not really automatic.
And I think when I go over my part, that'll be clarified even further, Joe.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Mo. The other thing I have for you here as a resource, there's two research projects that we did to look at the cost, the additional cost of construction based on the ICO changes. As you heard today, the report from Dr. Issa, which is, it's available here, and if you want to, it's a final report. And also we have the Florida Solar Energy Center did analysis on the energy code changes, and it provided which code changes is cost effective for both residential and commercial. And those are available for you. They will be reviewed by the energy tax on the 24th this week. So, but they're available for you as a resource. We'll have them there, so in case somebody want to look at them. So that's really, I'm going to go out of here, if you don't have any additional question, and go to our website. This is where everything is. This is a user interface we created for the ICODE changes. You remember last time we did the work manually, and this time we decided to really see if we can, input all the ICODE changes into the system and be able to, research, make the research and compiling and working on them easier. So let's say, for example, you're only doing search. You're not interested in providing comments at this stage. So you're, in this case, if you don't know the code change, but you're interested in the building, in the building code building, the Florida building code building. So, and you want to see what code change is there. So one thing you can do, you can click on building, select building here, and you can go down and search. And that will pull all the ICODE changes that's related to the building code building, for the building code building. So it's, as you see, you will see there is structured as with the I-code number EB150-19, then you will see there is a there is there's fraud specific number 9737, and it tells you whether it's correlated directly or it's overlap or it's a flood requirement and so on. So that's really then one thing. The other thing you can do is you can narrow the search. So if you want, you go to building and you say, okay, I'm just interested in knowing what code changes were there for chapter 16. So then you go to chapter 16. So select chapter 16. Structural design and search. This will give you all the I-code changes with the flood specific numbering for the those changes to chapter 16 of the building code building. Let's say, for example, you're only interested in those correlated directly. Same thing, you can go to the subcode, you select building, you select staff classification, you can select correlate directly, and you can search, and it pull all only those that correlate directly. You can do it by chapter, you can do it by code, you can do it by code section if you're interested in want to search by code section. The other thing, you can search by tag. So if you wanted to know, for example, let's say the structural tag, you want to know what code changes the structural tag will be taken up. So I will select structural and then search. We'll bring up all the I-code changes for structural, also there you can do search, same thing with correlate directly and, with overlap. So if you want to know which one, you know, from the tax side, is structural and the overlap. So you can go to the steps classification and click on overlap, and then, you know, you bring all those. The other thing you can do also now, I know some people already submitted comments. So if you want to know, you know, if you're interested in a specific tag, so you have the comments or a specific code, in general, you can search for comments by just select. The only thing you have is general comments. So I click on only with general comments search. So these are the code changes that you see that there is comment on them so far. So if I click on the first one, G152-18 or 9555. This is the code change as uploaded by staff. By the way, all the information on this is came from the monograph, ICC monograph. We did either the summary or the rationale and all that. We tried to stick with what's really the I-code monograph has in it. So as you see, you will see the code change. It has in it the Florida specific number 9455. It says verified it's for fire tag. The tag is fire. G152-18 correlate directly, and if you then you will you see the code change. And then the rationale. If you want to see the monograph, it's also uploaded. This is the monograph, the I-code monograph, which has everything there. So for you to look through it. But also if you scroll down, you see that somebody submitted a comment on this, a general comment. And he said, I'm submitting this comment on behalf of the American Wood Council. The change is needed to differentiate existing type for heavy timber requirement from a new type for mass timber requirement. So that's really the general, you can click on details to go back. So you can search for a comment, you can look at a specific comment to a code mod, and The other thing you can do, let's say, for example, we take one of the code changes to submit a comment on a code change. You have to really have a login and password, or you can register and establish a login and password for yourself. So in this case, I can go in first. I have to log in, and then after I log in, then I can now submit a comment. So let's say, for example, I want to submit a comment on a proposed code modification. So I click on under Manage User. I said submit a comment. So let's say I want to I can search for a code change both ways, either using a further specific number or an iCode number. So if you know the iCode number, FS in this case, 133-18, and then I can search. This is the iCode change that we felt it's an overlapping and all that. So let's say, for example, I want to submit a comment. You see it says here, submit comments. So I click on it. It tells me I can submit general comments. Next. And I can write in my comments. I agree with this code change. Also, you can upload a file. If you want to upload a file, and I make sure the file is a PDF file, doesn't take anything other than PDF. But, you know, you can submit a comment that way on any of these code changes. Any questions so far? That's what I have for you for the database and the, you know, going through the search mechanism and submitting comments and all that.
Anybody have any further questions? All right.
All right, Jeff, take it from here. Thank you, guys.
All right, so if you would stop sharing the screen, and Jim, if you would allow me to share the screen, please. Okay, I presume that you're seeing my screen, correct?
Yes, we see it, Jeff.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to go over two pieces. One is the tax, both for phase one, the tax 2021 model code update process. This process was unanimously adopted by the commission at their June 8th meeting. It was initially reviewed about a year ago by the commission as well. I'm not going to go over all the things that pretty much everybody's already aware of, our typical process, one person speaking at a time, comments of 3 minutes, et cetera. So this is organized by general provisions and then public comment process. I will introduce each of the model code updates by chapter and section and term by each TAC. So we will actually go over each one. The public will be invited to speak on any of those they wish to with a 3 minute time limit. You know, we'll take proponents first, opponents second, and then we'll have one opportunity for a collective opportunity for those who wish to either support or oppose for any rebuttal making new points. That's our standard process. Again, we're encouraging people, if they're just saying they want to say they agree, just to sort of raise their hands, and I'll sort of acknowledge, you know, the various stakeholder interests and support that gives the TAC a sense of whether people support or don't support it without having to say it. But, of course, do feel free to, if you'd like to say it, to go ahead and say it. All right, so this next piece here is the TAC review process. During the meetings, in order to recommend approval of an update, a TAC member will be required to make a motion to recommend the commission incorporate the 2021 model code update into the 8th edition building code, a second discussion, and a vote. In addition, this is the first time that this has been allowed. The commission's rules of procedure were changed to provide for this in order to avoid the confusion piece where we have negative roll calls. If a member wishes to make a motion to deny the code amendment, they should make that motion second discussion, and if it passes, then we'll go forward. The tax are now for the code process only using two-thirds instead of three-quarters. The commission still uses three-quarters. The TAC uses three-quarters for everything but code process. So for this process, you'll be using the two-thirds. Each of the model code updates should be addressed with either a motion to approve or deny, and then that it should be included in the consent agenda for approval, the consent agenda for denial, or you believe that it should be considered by the commission individually. And you would still make a motion to approve it, but it should be considered individually for various criteria, which I'll describe in a second. Or it, because there's some circumstances. Otherwise, you'd want to recommend it be on the consent agenda to either approve or deny. So this is an important piece. The commission's adopted policy is that the TAC should vote to recommend denial for all ICO changes that are categorized by staff as overlaps during the tax review. This does not mean that you don't support the code change. It doesn't mean that you won't want to support it in the second phase, but for this particular phase, only those that correlate directly will be considered, and that's, you know, pretty consistent with how we've always done it. So these are really impacting what we used to call Florida-specific amendments. So the tax will be asked to recommend denial for all of those. And they would go on a consent agenda to deny. And then it would be pursuant to proponents to bring them forward in the next phase as a proposed code amendment. The TAC must decide on the 2021 model code updates as they were drafted. There's no consideration for amendments at this phase. So you either say yes or no. And if someone thinks there should be an amendment, they should bring that amendment to the second phase. So again, there'll be three consent agendas, and this will be how the commission considers it: a motion to deny, a consent agenda, a motion to approve on the consent agenda, and then the motion to approve or deny for individual consideration. And the reason that would be is that there's you would use criteria such as the update has potential to improve, to impose significant costs, to cause confusion or regulatory difficulty. You don't think it's necessary. It's highly controversial to affect the stakeholders or requires further evaluation. So if you think the commission needs to look at it further, then you would put it on that. If you think it's clear enough, as approve or deny, and leave it at that on those consent agendas. As always, TAC and the commission, for that matter, may not recommend approval of any code amendment or model code update that would diminish the provisions of the Florida Building Code as it relates to wind resistance or the prevention of water intrusion. That's required by statute. Statute says that for the code process, the TAC receive a two-thirds favorable vote, either to approve or deny, and not to 75%. And then your recommendations will be forwarded to the commission on the various consent agendas as I described. So that's the TAC process. So before I go to the commission process, does anybody have any questions about this process?
Hey, Jeff, it's Tom. I might have missed it because I had to step out.
Okay.
Did you address in Section 3 the change that they're going to be given the individual assignments?
No, I didn't do that. Thanks. Okay. Good point. So this is different than last year, and this is what we've done with the Residential Construction Cost Impact Work Group, is that each TAC member will be assigned a certain set number of amendments to review and to provide recommendations back to the TAC. So at the TAC meeting, say all 11 members have brought their assignments forward with their recommendations. TACs are also members, should also, you have a secondary responsibility of reviewing all of them and being prepared. But this at least provides that one TAC member has evaluated each of the amendments and has a specific recommendation on whether to approve or deny and their rationale for that. So before we start the process, the assignments will be made. You'll have, depending on the size of the, of the, of how many each attack has, you know, 20, 30 each to review, and then those recommendations will be compiled and available at the TAC meeting to help assist us through the process so that everybody's clear that there is a specific evaluation or recommendation on that.
Hey, Jane, Jeff, this is Mom and Donnie. Hey, what I'm, you know, in terms of this assignment, the staff would work closely with the chair of each TAC. We'll have a list of code changes that each member will be assigned to for review. And, you know, so stay tuned. As soon as we finish the, you know, the comment period, then we will try to really work with the chair and come up with the list. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we're asking you to provide a concise and brief summary of the update and your recommendation. So, of course, this is all in here, so you have this available. Any other questions or comments about the TAC I-code review process?
Jeff, Joe Belcher, I see that it says the commentary at the meeting or summary at the meeting. Are you looking for TAC members to provide a written comment to staff in advance of the meeting? Or
yes.
You are, okay. Okay.
Yes, so that way it'll all be compiled and TAC members will have all of it before the meeting.
Yeah, I heard you use the word compiled, and that's why I was wondering. I didn't hear anything about us submitting something in writing. Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? All right, then I'm going to go to the next document, and I may have to reshare the screen. Let's see here. Actually, save. All right. You're seeing my screen now again?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Good.
I prefer to watch the dog.
Yeah, me too. I wish they were still that young, and so was and I was as well. I was like back in 2007, that picture of me and the two dogs in a lake. Okay, so this is the commission's I-code review process. So after the TACs make their recommendations, again, this was unanimously adopted by the commission at the June meeting and reviewed a year earlier. As I described, there'll be three consent agendas or for the TAC, for the commission by TAC, and we'll do them by TAC as we've always done to keep it easier to follow along with. A consent agenda for denial, consent agenda for approval, and then those recommended for individual consideration, which won't be a consent agenda. They'll be taken individually. That's the TAC recommended the commission review those individually. So the commission will have the benefit of the TAC's recommendations as well as the residential cost of construction impact work groups comments about those that have cost impacts. They'll have all that information to assist them with their decision. So these consent agendas are organized as we described. If a member of the public wishes, there seems to be some background noise. I'm not sure if, Jim, if you can isolate that. At any rate, if you wish to have any of these that are on a consent agenda for either approval or denial individually considered by the commission, you need to submit your request in writing no later than 21 days prior to the commission meeting where these updates will be considered. Which I believe is in December. Requests should be sent to Mo, you know, as usual, and they will be compiled. So we don't want to be at the meeting and have a bunch of requests for pulling off of the consent agenda. It makes things very complicated, difficult to follow, difficult to process. So put your comments in advance. This is what we've done for many years. And then it'll be up to the commission at that point to decide whether to pull those. It's not an automatic pull. But if you have it in advance, the commission will have an opportunity to do that. Any commissioner may pull off any update off any consent agenda as they desire. So if a commissioner wishes to pull it, then they'll pull it. Again, it's incumbent upon you to make sure that it's clear and that you speak with those who you think should be involved with that. All right, so the TAC recommendations are on these consent agendas. The commission will take them, approval of consent agenda TAC recommendations for denial, the series of tracking charts. They'll determine whether to pull any off of that consent agenda. Then they'll vote to approve the consent agenda, either as it was originally submitted or as amended with the removal of X, you know, modifications for individual review. They'll vote on it. We'll go to the consent agenda for approval, do the same thing, any that were pulled off, approve it either as it was originally recommended by the TAC or as amended with the removal of any that commissioners have pulled off. Then we'll take up the individual ones, each of the individual ones that were pulled off of the consent agenda or were recommended by the TAC for individual consideration. And you'll vote on each one of those, the commission will vote on each one whether to approve or deny. And we'll do that for each TAC on all three of these, so it'll be a lot easier. Like, it'll be easier to follow along like we've always done in the past. Again, the commission can't make any motions that would diminish wind or water resistant provisions of the code, as always. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person. Naturally, a commissioner may request clarification of public as they desire. Proponents and opponents not wishing to provide comments are encouraged to raise their hands in support or opposition to provide the commission with a sense of stakeholder preferences and also to save time. Again, feel free to make a comment if you want. But if you just want to say, I agree, that would be, you know, raise your hand, we'll work, and I'll sort of, you know, summarize it as I've done in the past. Again, the public will be invited to speak on any of the updates that are considered individually, the three-minute time limit. Use our same process, you know, pros and cons. There will be no rebuttal opportunity for during the commission phase of this. So those will speak in favor, those against, but there will not be a rebuttal opportunity as there will be for the TAC phase. Okay. Again, those who wish to have individual consideration should identify the specific code update they want the commission to consider. But again, you should have done that in writing in advance, so it'll be easier at the meeting. All model code updates pulled will be individually considered, either to approve or deny. I mentioned that earlier. Any model code update that's pulled for individual consideration that does not receive a second, so someone says, I vote to approve this, there's no second, it's deemed denied due to failure to receive a second. So each one will be acted on either for approval or denial. Lack of second will count as a denial, as it always has. Commission's decisions on these ICO changes will require, as always, they're 75% favorable either for approval or denial. So that's the commission process. Does anybody have any questions on this process? Okay. How do I stop sharing my screen? Jim, will you take back the thing, please? All right, thanks. All right, any final questions on either the TAC or the commission process, ICO review process? All right, not hearing any. I think, unless, Mo, do you have anything else? Otherwise, I think we're ready to go through and get a motion to adjourn each of our TACs. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't have anything. That's good. Thank you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, and unless there's any other comment, either from TAC or the public, I'm going to go to the accessibility TAC. Commissioner Gross, would you adjourn us, please?
Move to adjourn.
If you don't mind, just say we stand adjourned. Is that,
I'm sorry, Jeff. You're correct. We don't need a motion. We adjourn the TAC, accessibility TAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, it's 11:24. Okay, I'm going to go to the special OTAC. Don, you adjourn the TAC, please.
We stand adjourned.
Very good. Thank you. And now I go to the structural TAC. And Commissioner Compton, would you please adjourn us?
Yeah, the structural TAC stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And thank you, everybody. Appreciate your listening to all this and look forward to the process.